kidding? Well, that's awesome. Hello, everybody.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Shin, and Ed, and we are currently live on the Ustream. This is all kinds of crazy and different and wacky.
Yeah.
We want to thank everybody who's tuning in right now and everybody who's listening tomorrow morning, I guess. we had some technical difficulties kind of getting started there, but we want to just say a quick hello. We've got, let's see, who's chatting with us? We've got Jen Shu, Melanie Grossi, Nick Cat, Von 6-1 over there, and over on social stream we've got...
Am I supposed to be in chat or social stream? Because I'm confused.
It's up to you. You can be wherever you want to be.
Well, you can watch either one, but then up top you just type in what you want, right?
Yes.
So there you go.
Yes.
The choice is yours.
Jillian keeps tweeting, bring on the fire trucks. I think we got a couple of those. So
you know what? It's 96 degrees in the valley today. There's a really good chance of fire trucks.
Oh, yeah. You guys are going to get all kinds of... when it gets hot here, like, people start getting crazy, and it's all... It's all kind of crazy.
And because we don't have video, the next time I see them working out in their driveway, I'll take a picture of them and post them on the Gleeful homepage so you guys can see our firefighters.
Our firefighters? people want to see pictures of the firefighters? They came over here one time because one of our neighbors left a pot on the stove.
And then went out for the evening.
Yeah, and what was funny is they actually turned on all the sirens, got in their truck, and made a U-turn so that they could get to our side of the street.
It was pretty funny. But it's the first time I've, like, met half of our neighbors.
That's true. That was when, because an old, an American Idol contestant used
that's
to live
right.
in our building, and that's when we learned that.
Yeah.
How are you, Ed? How are things back east? In the Midwest?
East of where you are. Yeah. You sound fuzzy to me, but if I don't sound fuzzy to you, it's fine.
No, you sound great.
You sound really good.
Okay. Well, then I don't care how I sound then, or how you sound to me. Right now things are pretty okay. It's finals week, so it's kind of stressful, and that's pretty much it.
Good.
Well, good luck with that. When you finish up for the season,
yeah,
semester.
Yeah, I could use some.
Well, we're back to talk about the latest episode of Glee entitled Rumors. You'll notice the random surge of adrenaline that's going through the show tonight because of everything that's going on. But we are back to discuss Rumors. This is the first time Glee took on an
own. The listeners are also pointing out that you sound scrambled.
Oh, I do.
Both of you sound scrambled.
Oh, really?
To me.
How scrambled are we?
Like,
I'm reading fuzzy.
Fuzzy,
like not very good, not very good at all.
Hang on, let's take a quick break here, and I'll listen back to the audio file and see if we're recording fuzzy as well. But yes, it's a technical difficulty that we will straighten out in the future. But yeah, so we had Rumors, and this was the first time Glee took on an album. We've had artists, you know, where we did an entire Britney episode, but they took on exclusively an album on this particular show, and it's an interesting album to pick. You know, like, Jennifer, how familiar have you been, or are you, with Fleetwood Mac's Rumors record?
Well, I'm going to say 75% familiar with it.
It's meaning you've heard 75% of it.
Okay. Sure. I remember 75% of it. I mean, it's one of those albums I'm sure my folks had.
Yeah.
You know, the album cover, you know, it's pretty iconic. Everybody's pretty familiar with that. Yeah, I would say, I'm like, you know, pretty familiar with it.
Well, it's that classic joke that even April Rhodes played in the show where he said, I think I have a copy of Rumors on vinyl. And she goes, Everybody does. Everyone had Rumors.
Except for me. I sold mine for drugs.
Ed, how did you, or how familiar are you
with Rumors? I don't know. I have such a new person's perspective because all I know is songs through covers. I feel like everything I do in life, I always start at the top of the pyramid and work my way down. And this is just another thing like that. So it was this in connection with the Carol King episode on Idol last week. It was like, oh yes, I know these songs, but I didn't know that she did these songs.
Exactly.
So that's how I felt. That's how I felt about this. So I was like, oh, The Chain. That's a cute song. So I didn't really know it, but it was. I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know it, and then it was good.
Well, what was your temperature on the episode, Ed? Was it a winner?
It was a strong episode. I would definitely say a solid B+.
Hmm.
Solid.
Well, that's good. And Jennifer, how did you feel about this one?
I really liked it. I'd say like B+, A-. I think the thing that I really liked the most about it was the level of interaction and communication with all of the kids again. Like, they actually felt like a group, even though they were, you know, getting pissed at one another and, you know, spreading vicious rumors about one another and at each other on all sides. It was just kind of fun to see them as a giant unit again, as opposed to, you know, all these little side stories that, you know, only connect when they're sitting in the Glee practice room together.
This episode did feel a little like Melrose Place the Musical, but there were elements of it that were quite fun, and the back talking and such. I mean, it was fun to see everybody kind of getting up in everyone's business again. If they were doing that every week, I think it would get really painful. But you know, it was kind of enjoyable in this particular case to see them all kind of going at each other's throats.
You know? Something I want to say is I'm really frustrated with the episode, how the episodes rolled out, because I felt both Born This Way and Rumors were really strong episodes. But Night of Neglect shot themselves in the foot, and ratings have not recovered.
Yes.
Since Night of Neglect. So I feel like this is Night of Neglect, as much as I kind of liked it, it was a disservice to the show.
I totally agree. I was thinking that watching this episode, I kind of made that same realization where I went, oh, this is bringing back some of those fun communal elements of the show. You know, some of the, like, the kids being kids, the soap opera-ness that I used to really like about the show. It was bringing that back, and I liked the songs again. The songs really fed into the plot again. And it was a great follow-up to last week. And I was like, oh, it's been so good since they came back from that break. And then I remembered, oh, wait, we started off with Night of Neglect, which was not very good at all.
Yeah, and it didn't help that, you know, that new show is on up against them and kind of killing them, I guess, in the ratings. Yeah.
That new show
that
we dare not speak its name.
Well, I didn't want to be like, you know, promoting it, but
totally.
Yes, that show.
Well, you know, we should probably dive right into the conversation right here. And I think the best place to start any conversation about this episode would, of course, have to be with this.
Bundy for two.
Hi.
So, fondue for two, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, this is what people do in the 70s. You know, I saw it on an episode of Good Eats that during the 70s, a married couple got an average of 2.5 fondue pots for their wedding presents.
Do you know how many we have?
2.5, because I broke one of them in half.
We do have two. And then we have this electric warmer that's also labeled a fondue. So it technically is like 2.5.
I could totally eat fondue right now.
I know, right?
It'd be delicious. Ed, fondue.
Raw meat and chocolate. Mm-hmm.
That's not fondue. That's she's crossing two fondues there. She's crossing oil fondue or wine. Also do wine.
I like the wine, she's
crossing chocolate fondue. Have you done fondue?
Is it kind of like a shabu shabu?
Yes, like, you cook the meat, or you cook the meat or the vegetables in the hot liquid. And again, like, it could be broth, could be oil, mm-hmm. could be wine.
Yes, and of course, everyone on Ustream is bringing up Lord Tubington, who we met this episode.
Oh my God, where did they find that fat cat?
He's a giant. That cat is a giant.
He was bigger than Brittany. She put him on her lap, and he like engulfed her lap.
And he's allowed to eat cheese because he's on Atkins, which is good to know. Boise Squid also reminded us that Lord Tubington is smoking again from the second time we met him. That is like four cats. That's like that cat ate our cat and then ate that cat downstairs that hates our cat. That's kind of how that went down.
Totally.
That's a lot of cat. Totally. Those four little legs have to carry that. Poor little guy.
Now, Brittany was kind of on the ball this episode.
She was on fire.
Yeah, she was, you know, she had a couple Brittany moments here. But honestly, like, she was surprisingly coherent. Her interview with Mr. Schuster, which was hilarious, was kind of a different side of Brittany. I mean, I don't want to say that she was smart, but she was kind of smart.
She was very calculating, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting to see. You know, Ed, how did you feel about Brittany being kind of on the ball this time?
She was Sue Sylvester, like the same way that Sue Sylvester Saint Hannah was replaced by Sue. Saint Hannah took the position of Sue Sylvester in last episode. Brittany did that in this episode because Sue wasn't very good. Like, she was good, but she wasn't that good, and it was kind of like Sue's Corner was replaced by a much more entertaining show called Fondue for Two, which sometimes could be called Fondue for Three, but whatever. Because I posted that video on gleefulpodcast.com after I saw it on No, They Didn't.
Yes, I saw that.
And I was like, I'm not sure if this is going to be on the episode, but it doesn't matter.
Well, that kind of kicked us off into this episode's kind of drama between Santana and Brittany. And, you know, this odd relationship that keeps developing. It's almost odd to watch Brittany. I don't know how much Brittany knows, you know, when she was talking to Artie and saying, you know, I'm not cheating. We're just two friends talking when our tongues are really close.
Yeah.
Like, does Brittany really know what's going on, or is this part of her kind of blissful ignorance? Ed, any opinion on that?
Hold on. I was distracted by the stream. Hold on. What was the question? I hope he's going to ask this to Jen because I don't remember what he said.
Well, Jen, okay. I mean, yeah.
I think it's very much. The Brittany, I think, is just. I don't think she sees relationships defined the way most people do, which is, you know, also the way that Santana looks at it. You know, she's not, you know, saying that she loves girls in general, but she's in love with Brittany.
Yeah.
And I think Brittany is, you know, maybe not as deliberately, but just definitely, I think there's something in her limited worldview that... Oh, you're changing things.
Sorry.
Her limited worldview or her own little naivete that makes her think that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's a relationship is, you know, a relationship. And, you know, here's somebody that loves me and cares about me. And that's what it is. Like, that's the definition to her, I think. I don't think
no one would ever ask Brittany, are you gay or straight? Because Brittany's kind of like, I don't know, like. You know, whoever wants to kiss me at the moment seems to be up my alley. But yeah, and that was my question to you, Ed. Like, do you think Brittany actually knows what's going on in this bizarre situation?
I think she's more coherent and lucid than people give her credit for. It's like maybe what she lacks in general common sense, she probably can make up in human interaction.
Yeah, I mean, she's a very emotional, caring, devoted person. I mean, she, you know, when Santana confronted her about her feelings for her, you know, she said, well, I'm with Artie. So she's just, I think that, you know, the concept of love and being with somebody isn't lost on her. I think just in her world, there aren't any definitions for it.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Well, you know, we did get the kind of the end, at least for the time being, of Artie and Brittany, and let's go ahead and take a listen to that as I play it now. This is Kevin McHale on lead vocals doing "Never Go Back Again." I don't know if Mark Salling's actually playing guitar on this, but in the show he was playing guitar on it, and he was doing a damn fine Lindsey Buckingham, so, you know.
I bet it was awesome the way it started.
Yeah, I was impressed that he could
keep
up.
The way it kind of built up and everything.
One of our greatest living guitarists, Lindsey Buckingham. Here's a bit of Never Going Back Again.
Going back again.
This is about our 70th episode of Gleeful, as well as, you know, Jennifer and I have done over 200 episodes of The Idol Review, and this is the first time we've ever broadcast live, and the first time that I somehow just tore a huge hole in my foot and I'm bleeding all over the carpet. So we went to that song and I'm like, I have to go get a Band-Aid, I'll be right back.
Okay, but you cut your foot sitting down.
From
a seated position.
I don't know how that worked. I can make no claims. Ed, any ideas?
I'm a little confused right now.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh, somebody wrote, since when does Finn play guitar? Sproutly. That was my first thought, too. And I'm like, yeah. He's not really playing. I don't think. Because he was just sort of like strumming crazily
Finn
back there.
Finn did not look like he knew what he was doing on that guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, we know he plays the drums very well. He plays the drums at every possible instance. But he did not know, like, he had no idea what he was doing on that guitar. So
yeah.
It was just kind of random to see him pop up. But the whole, like, all-guitar thing, the whole all-guitar orchestra was pretty cool on the song. I love when they twist it and do something different.
I thought it was really cool. And again, I loved the way it sort of started off and it just sort of built up. And I thought, you know, like, it's so ridiculous. Of course, you know, he's just standing behind Artie with a guitar and then, you know, follows him in the auditorium. But
yeah.
But back to Finn, it was funny, though, watching him try to walk around the stage in, you know, choreograph with everybody else and still play and not trip. I thought that was pretty funny.
Ed, what did you think of this song from Artie and the guitar orchestra?
I thought, I don't know, my first instinct was that it kind of, okay, the guitar, there's like, when it was happening, I was like, do we need this many guitar players? For real? Like, for real?
Never enough guitar players!
I know, I was like, I was concerned for my safety. And then, I don't know, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but it felt almost like it came out of nowhere. But maybe not really. It just like kind of happened. I was like, oh, musical number time, okay. Which I suppose I should expect from Glee, and I should expect from Artie, and from anyone. So, but it just... Maybe I've been watching too many, like, Night of Neglect and Born This Way, lots, and the sectionals episode, or the regionals episode. Like, the performances happened at logical places, and even a lot of the performance in this, like, April Rhode singing with Schuster in front of the class,
yeah,
Santana singing in front of Britney, like they all kind of, like, they made sense, like, oh, of course you'd be singing now. But but then Artie was like, oh, I'm in the middle of a hallway. Clearly. Duh.
It had been a while since we'd gotten one of these kind of otherworldly performances, you know, where they were particularly out of, where they weren't just singing in the choir room or singing some kind of obvious, you know, obvious rehearsal. You know, it wasn't a standard performance. So it was interesting to see, you know, and then we did get Artie kind of breaking up with Britney, which was odd. I mean, Artie's been through so much with Britney up to this point. It was kind of odd for him to have a random bout of insecurity at this stage. Because that seemed to me to be the only reason he was breaking up with her, was just sheer insecurity. I don't know, Ed, did you think there was something deeper going on, or was it just him getting nervous?
I think the writers wanted to move the plot along. That's what I really think. Like, they're like, let's just have this happen.
That's,
well,
true.
I think technically she broke up with him.
Yeah, I thought that's what happened, but maybe.
I mean, because he was, yeah, the only one in the school who hadn't called her stupid.
That was a tough moment. Yeah, that was really hard to see.
And, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, of course he's going to be insecure, you know, for the reasons that he stated. But yeah. But yeah, she, you know, once he said that, she was done.
Yeah, that was one of the more heartfelt, you know, things to happen on this show. I don't know, that really got me. Ed, did that moment stand out to you when she looked down at Artie and said, you know, I don't, you're the only person that's ever not called me stupid?
I was like, aw, poor word choice, Artie. But I don't know, it kind of needed to be said, but maybe not that way.
Yeah.
I was like you could, yeah, see that she's manipulating you, but she said that's fine. No, Brittany.
Listener Melanie brought up that the Muckraker article that mentioned Santana playing for another team, and Brittany said, well, yeah, you used to play on the Cheerios, and now you're on New Directions. That's totally another team, which says you couldn't have found another way to say that.
Yeah, it's true.
But anyway, what doesn't make sense about that at all is, why would Infrafond do for two? That's like a fact that everyone knows. Why would she feel the need to say, like, oh, I've heard a rumor that Santana plays for the other team. It isn't a rumor if it's a fact.
Well, but that was the joke. And she says, I heard a rumor, which is a total fact. I can confirm it. That was why that was really hilarious. I don't know. So we had, eventually we had Santana kind of sing that song for Britney. That's always the weirdest thing to me. Like, if at one point I was having a really tough day and Jennifer was like, Josh, I want to make you feel better, so I'm going to perform this song for you, and I brought in this gentleman to play the piano. I've been rehearsing this for weeks, and I've been saving it for just this moment because I know you're feeling really down, and I want you to just sit there awkwardly while I perform and serenade you. That would just be too awkward for me to withstand, but on this show, it's like common practice.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it all comes down to that. What was that great scene with Jesse, who we're getting back?
Yeah.
But that great scene with Jesse where he says to Finn, like, all right, this is going down. The only way we know how to do it. And Rachel goes, sing off in the parking lot? It's like, this is the world that these kids live in, where this is not surprising in any way. But we eventually did get Santana, and she performed Songbird. Is this kind of a... This was a soft Santana. I mean, it... I guess the other soft Santana we got was also a Stevie Nicks song. So
that's,
that was
true.
Wacky.
I really liked this. I thought it was really pretty.
Ed, did you? How did you feel about Songbird, the Santana song?
I thought it was easily one of the best performances of the entire show.
I'm not gonna lie, I teared up.
Wow.
Yeah.
As it's been said, true emotional connection to a song is always going to be greater than big numbers. production numbers. So.
Oh, that's no doubt. You're always going to get better. Like, you know, the times I cry are always like, you know, the Rachel moments when she just kills it more than when there's 50,000 people on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to Songbird as performed by Naya Rivera here on the Gleeful Podcast. Did you just tweet my foot?
And I feel that when yes. I'm with you, it's all right. I know it's right. To you, I'll give the word. Cause I feel that when I'm with you, it's alright. I know it's right. And the songbirds are singing like they know the score. Like never before.
So, of course, this brought us into the, I guess, the major, I don't want to say the most dramatic, but the most, the biggest, wildest thing to go on, I suppose, would be Sam. You know, Sam's kind of coming in between Kurt and Rachel and Finn and Quinn and all of the madness that surrounded that. It was an interesting storyline. Someone tweeted to us, it's nice to see someone on the show that has an actual problem behind, like, petty emotional jealousies.
Yeah,
it was definitely a bit of an after-school moment, and not that I'm above that. But it was interesting to get, you know, we got a chord storyline on this one,
yeah,
which is kind of wacky. Actually, let's go ahead and let me fade this out.
I like to think that when he was crying, he was thinking about when he met me in November.
Aww.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to this here.
Hey, Justin and Ed, this is Betsy, calling from Salem, Massachusetts. So I just wanted to say two things. That yay, storyline for Sam. That is fabulous and totally believable storyline. With everything going on in today's world, I thought it was kind of great. And we actually have seen Court Overstreet act, which is pretty cool. And I will be giving up my musical theater geek status when I actually say out loud that really don't like Kristen Chenoweth's character trying to done with April Rhodes. So can she go away soon? Because that'd be awesome. So love the podcast. Been listening forever. And thanks so much. Bye.
That was long-time listener Betsy. We will definitely get to April Rhodes here in a second, but before we do that, we need to, you know, talk about Chord. And I don't really know what to say, but it was interesting. How did you feel, Jennifer?
Well, I mean, it was nice to see something more on Sam. I mean, he's been basically forgotten ever since, you know, Quinn left him for Finn. So, in like, even though he supposedly had a relationship with Santana, that just was sort of like glossed over and dropped. So,
yeah.
I thought it was really nice to see him again. And yeah, I think it was handled really well. I mean, clearly, none of us, I don't think there was a single Glee viewer who thought for half a second that, you know, Sam was having a relationship with Kurt or Finn or Quinn.
Or Quinn, yeah.
Yeah, but I really don't think that. And I think it was, you know, pretty obvious where it was leading, that it, obviously, you know, he was staying in the hotel for some particular reason. It wasn't just a meet-up rendezvous place. I mean, it's called the American Family Motel. It's like clearly a place where, you know, people have got to camp out for a while. But I think it was handled in a, you know, not too heavy-handedly. You know, it was, I think they did a decent job with it. And it was his, you know, his little brother and sister are so cute.
Yeah, that was definitely very, very sweet. Talk of the internet. Some people actually wondered if the little brother didn't play his mini-me in the mini-me scene, because I guess they did look that.
Oh, wow. I didn't catch that.
But yeah, you know, Ed, how did you feel about Sam in this episode and his creating drama? Not intentionally, but you know what I mean.
I thought it was believable, and I understand why you want to keep it under wraps. Like, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I told, like, of all the things that have happened in the Glee world, this was a very plausible storyline from conception to execution, with the, like, him being put in the motel, then Kurt going there to give him clothes, and then Quinn because of the church thing. So, I thought it was good. It was very real, and I liked it.
One thing that I did think about, though, when I was watching this plot line is, yeah, you know, I understand that Sam wanted to, you know, keep this as private as possible, and he's going through some extreme, you know, personal strife, which is respectable, you know. The one thing that killed me, though, is that all Quinn had to do was pull Finn aside and say, look, I'm your girlfriend. You need to trust me on this, that I'm not sleeping with Sam, and that something's going on that I can't tell you about. Or just kind of say, look, you know, you have to keep this secret for me, but you are the person that I claim to love, and I cannot keep, you know, I probably shouldn't keep a secret from you that's tearing you up to this extent. Like, there was no, I'm not even going to say maturity. Maturity's not the right
word. There was no direct communication.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, although she did say, you have to trust me, and, you know, this time I'm not cheating on you.
Yeah.
You I mean, to, that should time. Obviously mean that she's not, but... But if she was more direct and, you know, more open with him, then we wouldn't have gotten Feisty Finn. Because <Yeah. laughs> I like Feisty Finn. I think just their performance when they were doing that song together was hysterical.
We did get some seriously Feisty Finn in this episode, and some kind of conniving Rachel. Like, I could never quite figure out, you know. Those aren't ours. That one's...
Those are me. Those are me. They just drove by my house.
We got...
Head sirens!
Yay! Awesome.
That's so weird. And it's been almost an hour and we have no sirens here.
That's so
awesome.
Something's
wrong.
Theater Girl 25 just tweeted, did you notice the Bikini Girl sticker on Sam's guitar?
Bikini Kill, yeah.
Bikini Kill. I did not, but I love Bikini Kill. Yeah. And now I should go look those up again. So, TypeOS says, I'm giving Quinn too much credit for being mature. Maybe, what? I mean, maybe I am. I guess I'm just thinking, like, if these were people I knew, what would I be saying to them? And I'd be saying, like, dude, like, you grow up for 5 minutes and just, like, but I also wonder, in all the conversation, I mean, I guess, if you believe, like, all you get to see in this show, then Finn and Quinn only see each other like between classes.
Well, no, they
so they never actually
school.
Have a conversation.
But I mean, Finn even said so himself when he was in the on the stakeout with Rachel that
there's
our sirens.
It's funny because he just left mine. Did he just get there? That's
the full circle of sirens.
Wow.
Jennifer.
So when Finn and Rachel were on the stakeout. Finn even said that, you know, Quinn doesn't share that stuff with him. She's very guarded. And I don't know if Finn pointed out or if Rachel did that it was for control, that it was to keep the upper hand. So, you know, this was part of that.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
A person like Quinn probably enjoys a little bit of jealousy, so...
She likes to know there's a little battle going on in her name, just out of principle.
Keeps him fighting. Keeps him interested. That was one fast fire truck, yes.
Yes, definitely.
Drink!
Yeah, it was an interesting exchange. We had all that stuff. Of course, we had this stuff with Sam and... With Sam and Kurt, and someone had emailed us and said it's funny that there was never a question that maybe Sam was gay. Like, as soon as they said, you know, Sam might be Kurt was hooking up with Sam and hurting Blaine, and no one ever went, wait a minute, Sam's gay? Like, they just totally went straight to Kurt and Blaine.
Well, Yeah. Hey, but again, I think that goes back to how little people know about Sam.
That's true. You know, and they brought that up in this episode, is that Sam, when he first showed up, everybody was like, this guy's great. And then very quickly, everyone went, who is this guy?
Do we even know where he lives? Do we know what he does? Is he a serial killer? Come on.
Exactly.
Usually, only on weekends.
Well, this song did give us a very awkward performance, or this episode did give us a very awkward performance of Finn and Quinn doing I Don't Want to Know, where they did
Which
not
Which is their
smile.
First duet ever.
Really? I didn't catch that.
Oh, I liked it. It was a lot of fun. Let's sounded good together.
Let's give it a listen. This is I Don't Want to Know with Corey Monteith and Diana Agron on the Gleeful Podcast. Walking down the line, I don't want to stand to new love, honey. I just want you to feel fine. I don't want to know the reasons why love keeps right on walking on down the line. Want you to feel fine. Finally, baby, the truth has come down now. Take a listen to your spirit, it's crying out loud. Trying to believe, oh, you say you love me but you don't know. You got me rocking and I'm reeling. Oh, covert Finn and Rachel in the car taking pictures, and when they kicked in with the Fleetwood Mac song and did the big, you know, it was kind of a private detective moment. It was
very heart to heart.
Very, very nice reference.
Well, that was what she said.
Ed, how you doing over there?
I'm just emotional about Haley. I haven't seen the performance, but I've been reading the Twitter feeds. Go for Haley. Continue. When I get attached, I can't let go. I don't know what to say.
That sounds so creepy. We had the return of April Rhodes in this episode, who was... Oh, what? Did we?
Oh, I was going to say, you want to just like talk a little bit about Rachel and Finn?
Sure.
Because it seems like just a... You know, a natural progression from angry Quinn and Finn to Rachel and Finn.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Tell us a little bit about Rachel and Finn in this episode. It was an interesting. It was an interesting dynamic to see them together but not dating.
Yeah, I thought it was. She's really. She has no game whatsoever. I mean, she's telling him straight out, "I'm doing all this so we can be together and so we can sing together." And I thought that was kind of interesting that she just, I mean, although she was kind of playing it off as if it was for the good of the team, so that, you know, because they sound better together and they should perform in nationals.
Well, that was kind of the difference of it, is this seemed like she wasn't so much trying to get him back the way she has in other episodes. She was just trying to get him as a singing partner, not as a lover.
Yeah.
Ed, how did you feel about Finn and Rachel in this one?
I thought, well, obviously Rachel is trying to be manipulative, obviously. Like, let's just all be honest for a second. And, I mean... I feel like the growth that might have happened at sectionals with the Get It Right and Quinn's conversation with Rachel, it just like isn't sinking in. Somehow Rachel still wants it all, which will probably be the next song. I want it all. But I don't know. I think Rachel might have been partially from a good place, being like, oh, maybe she is cheating on you, but I think in the end it was self-serving.
Well, I mean, she even admitted herself that, you know, what did she say to Finn? Like, you forgive your first love of anything. So, like, I think she's starting to realize that this is not, a relationship battle that she's going to win. But yeah, I mean, maybe if just spending more time with him, being able to perform with him, you know, can get them closer, and then maybe something else will happen. Who knows? But, yeah, I just thought it was really, it was nice to see them talking about stuff again. Again, like, the whole, throughout the whole episode, it was just nice to see everybody kind of connecting.
Well, Rachel's been, I don't know, I have to admit, I think Rachel's been a little annoyingly one note lately. She's pretty much just been Finn, and though she takes the occasional break off to be like me and fame and me and fame, last season we really got to see a transition in Rachel where, you know, the fame started to take a back seat so that she could become, you know, so that she could let all of these other people into her life, and then she kind of had to push fame a little bit away so that she could be a good girlfriend to Finn. And then the last, you know, couple episodes, it seems like she's, well, since like Christmas really, it seems like she's cast all of that away, and it is all just, you know, there's no more growth in Rachel, where it's just Finn and stardom. And I'm finding her, I don't know, I don't know, I guess everybody can't grow all the time, but
that would be boring.
That would, well, would it? Would it be
boring? Yeah.
I suppose you're right.
On TV it would be.
We got this call from, I believe this is listener Inga. We're going to go ahead and take a listen to the beginning.
Hi, Griefful. This is Yinka from Dallas, Texas. I just watched Glee episode Rumors. I have been very disappointed in this season of Glee. It started off so well, and it's just gone downhill since. I wish what they would do with their extra money, I guess, is stop hiring all these big actors and hire parents for these kids.
So, Hank says, we get all these big actors, but we never get any parents running through here. And a couple of people had that comment during the Night of Neglect, where were all the parents at the Night of Neglect? But, you know,
they were neglecting their
kids. They spent all their budget not on Gwyneth Paltrow, but on the legion of children that are violin and cello prodigies.
But she makes such a good point. Like, where are the parents on the show? Like, yeah. They pop up occasionally to ruin the lives of their children, and then they disappear into ether, which I guess is kind of a teenager fantasy, but still. What, Ed?
Next episode, Quinn's mom is going to be in it for since the prom episode, like, it's predictable. So, I mean, we have seen some parents. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Apparently the writers don't feel it's necessary, and it's, I guess we're just all supposed to believe that at home, when they're at home, they're like constantly being given love and support. We love you. We support you. We support your potential of not making money as a career.
Well, I guess it's kind of like the Peanuts gang. We never saw Charlie Brown's
parents.
Yeah,
they just stood in the back and went, womp, womp, womp.
Exactly.
Womp, womp.
They should do voiceovers like that.
Listeners under the age of 14 just went, what the hell are they talking about? It's the Great Pumpkin Kids. Look it up. Well, we did get some great, in my opinion, we got a great Rachel song in this episode where she did Go Your Own Way with Corey on the drums, at least in the video. Who knows?
Yeah, that was confusing. I'm like, oh, so he could play drums on her track? Funny. Quinn, you need to keep better tabs on your man.
I know. I loved how that she did say at the end, does anybody else think it's inappropriate that she's singing a love song to my boyfriend?
Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to Leah Michelle performing Go Your Own Way. Here it is on the Gleeful Podcast.
When you won't take it from me. Turned around.
what were you pointing at? You were pointing at Jen Shu 17.
No, somebody just set up an account for Lord Tovington.
Oh,
on Ustream.
I did some background checking on Lord Tovington. They've been tweeting for quite some time.
Really?
So. Well, I'm so glad Lord Tovington could tune into our podcast.
I know, I was tweeting to them. I was like, I'm your biggest fan, Lord Tovington.
He's rather computer savvy, apparently.
Yeah, he is. Well, he does read Britney's journal. And that's probably where he smokes.
True. And he smokes.
And he smokes.
Don't think I'm not mad at you.
But I mean, the pause on that guy. Like, how can he type? One pause, like half of a keyboard. He must have to use a pencil.
He's a tail typer.
Animal Puff said, Carol was clearly working 24/7 to pay for Kurt to go to Dalton.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
So hold on. So we'll be able to see Finn's mom now? Now that he's not going to Dalton?
Yeah, that's a good question. I suppose it's... We can hope so, right? We can definitely hope. Well, I thought this was fantastic. This was probably... For me, I think this is my favorite vocal performance of the show. I just think it's a kick-ass song, and I love Lindsay. Jennifer, what did you think of Go Your Own Way in this episode?
I thought it was really great, and it was nice to see her emotion in it. And again, you know, like, yeah, no matter, regardless of how manipulative or, you know, single-minded she is, it makes for entertaining TV. So, yeah, I like this a lot.
And Ed, how did you feel about Go Your Own Way?
I thought it was good. This was one of the songs I, like, definitely knew. So yeah, it was fun. I was like, whatever. Like, when Rachel's giving her speech about, I'm gonna give my own girl spin on a male song, I'm like, okay, like, that hasn't been done, like, a million times before on Glee. Okay.
Yeah, you know what? I thought that was an odd clarification on her part.
I have a question. Since we're on the subject of Rachel, when she went to Rachel to ask Sam out for prom date, and Sam responded, St. Tony told me not to talk to you because you would steal all my gold.
Yes,
now, love it.
So, can someone explain that to me? Because I'm stupid. I guess
called her a leprechaun.
Oh, yeah.
Quinn was calling Rachel a leprechaun because Quinn always makes fun
Santana.
Of Santana.
Santana.
Santana was calling Rachel a leprechaun because Santana always makes fun of Rachel for being so short.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she... True. And then Quinn does the man hands. Man hands.
True. Well, now let's talk a little about the return of April Rhodes. You know, we had listener Betsy weighing in earlier on the message that April Rhodes had returned.
I think April Rhodes is going to die.
The famous bratwurst gobbler?
Well, you know, it's hard because I actually, for once, Josh knows a spoiler and I don't want to share it. I've never had this problem. Usually it's just us saying, Ed, don't say the spoiler. But for once, Josh knows a spoiler. I'm sure Ed knows it too.
I don't know. Like, it just, like, there's an episode title in the future. And I feel like people, like, I feel like
this is
April Rhodes is annoying to both the audience and to Schuster, and it's context clues that she could be possibly dying.
So I mean, yeah, this is like the worst kept secret on the internet. So someone is dying because there's an episode called Funeral coming up.
Oh, God.
Yeah, in like two episodes. They've been talking about this for a year.
Yeah, I never read ahead.
Yeah, well, no, this is actually, like, I've been hearing about this for almost a year. So, yes, someone, they were saying someone was going to be dying, like, I'd heard rumors that when we had Pavarotti died, and they were like, oh, this is the death. And then Ryan Murphy's like, oh, no, there's another one, too. So, yes, someone is dying. Ed, you're weighing in on it being Christian Chenoweth. You think it's going to be April Rhodes?
I think, because I can't see them killing off any of these kids. And Christian Chenoweth is like, she's in the perfect place to die. like I
she's
don't know.
An
like,
it
sounds terrible.
Yes. But,
specifically, I don't know if you know who Asilo is. He's like TVLine.com person. He specifically asked if Emma Pillsbury is going to die, and he said no. So, we know it isn't her.
Well,
how could you kill off Emma?
I know, right? Like, his response was like, what is she going to do, over antibacterialize herself to death? Like, for real.
So, on the topic of dying, since we went ahead and just opened the Pandora's box.
I mean, it's like the 30-pound Lord Tummington in the room. So, we can't ignore it.
Lord Tummington is going to be pissed you said that. Typo S said, please let it be Holly Holiday. Animal Beastie. Puff said, beast. Hope not.
Yeah.
Let's see. We got
Peggy or Sue's sister.
someone tweeted, Josh knows a spoiler.
Bert,
gasp.
Ed, shout out.
Yes, Irish Mike says Becky or Sue's sister. But the first time I heard someone was going to die, I immediately thought Becky or Sue's sister. And I thought that would just be evil. That would just be heartbreaking to see one of those characters go.
And I don't understand the purpose. I mean, you would probably, if you're going to kill off somebody, then it should be so that there's, you know, a dramatic change in another person. So, So if Sue's sister passed away, then, you know, maybe we'd see this, you know, shift in Sue. But, I mean, what? Become more evil? I don't know that that's possible.
Sue in this episode was so good, wasn't she?
She was good, but, like, borderline ridiculous.
Well, but that's when I like Sue.
Yeah.
I like Sue when she's borderline ridiculous, but doesn't go quite over the edge. The one time I didn't like her is when she was dressed up as David Bowie, and then they did the, like, Monty Python quick change.
Yes.
And she came back dressed as Ann Coulter.
I know.
That was the one time where she really annoyed me.
Yeah.
But the rest of it,
oh, yeah,
with the League of, with, like, leading the newspaper and stuff, that was, to me, was great.
The muckrucker.
Sue. That was delightful, Sue. Ed, what did you think of Sue in this one? We haven't seen Sue in a little while.
Well, we just missed one episode. Just one episode.
Yeah, but it was a 90-minute episode.
I know. No. Oh, yeah. Well, yes, that's true. Okay. Once again, I feel like the scene with Terry, it's just like setting up for maybe not even the next episode, maybe just for the season finale. Who knows what it's setting up for? But clearly, like, we ended the Night of Neglect with Honey Badger, in our time of need, we need you. And then she didn't really do it. Like, nothing really happened.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she talked to April. But these are reasons I feel like this is culminating to April's death. These are the reasons.
Oh, April Rhodes' death. Okay.
So, but I don't know. Maybe it's Terry now. Oh,
okay. So I have a question. Okay, I watched it twice, and I looked really hard the second time for it. So, in that coffee shop scene, when Terry says to Sue, I was reading the internet last night, and I have an idea.
No, she was trolling.
She was trolling the internet. Okay,
right
before that, she said, you know, instead of trying to destroy Will in the Glee Club, why not try to pull him out? So do you think that Terry was the one who contacted April Rhodes to bring her back to then get... Okay.
Yes.
I'm like... I felt a little stupid. I'm like, wait, is that how April came to town?
Well, what's
because
more,
then they met up again at the end.
Terry probably destroyed her all-white cast of The Wiz.
I don't know. That sounds like it was destined for
destruction. That's going to go well.
Yeah.
Of a joke as that is, you know that there's some high school in Utah that did an all-white production of The Wiz.
Of
I mean, there's somebody's done that.
I'm sure that's probably happened in every state. I don't think you'd have to be so... pointed.
Maybe the person who dies is Brad. So we totally miss Santana's line.
He's
just furniture. No offense.
And he just shrugs it off.
He doesn't even react.
I love that guy.
You know, this was an episode of April that I kind of agree with Betsy. I think I'm over April. I think April's the guest star who almost comes back too much. Like, I want to see more Sandy.
This is the first time she's been back season two. Can you confirm or deny this?
Didn't she do... I want to say she did one other episode season two. Is it really the only one?
Time she didn't steal the show. So,
yeah, I didn't mind her this time.
I was not annoyed with April Rhodes. I was just concerned for her safety.
You thought she was going to trip at any moment.
It's like, oh my God, be careful.
I agree. I think that, I mean, this was an episode that I actually liked April Rhodes in, even though I am kind of over the character. This is what you want out of a guest star. She comes in, she messes stuff up, and then she disappears into the ether. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, April's got... Irish Mike says this was April's only season two episodes. He's very helpful.
Thank you.
So yeah, you know, I liked April on this one. I don't know if she needed a song, but she did what a guest star is supposed to do. Come in, mess some crap up.
Of course she needs a song. And of course she needs to make goo-goo eyes with Sam, because he's the only one that didn't sleep around with, so.
That's true.
Wow.
So she kind of opened up this pot of worms with Mr. Schuster wanting to go to Broadway. And as we know, the season is going to end at Nationals, which is in New York.
New York.
So obviously it looks like something's going down there.
Wow.
Do we care? That's my question. Jennifer, Schuster going to Broadway, possibly leaving the Glee Club. Do we care?
I do. I still think that, although I don't think the show needs to really center around him and his relationships, I think his relationship is such an understood thing with the Glee kids that I think if you take him out of that and then you had to reintroduce somebody else, I think it would be awkward. I think he's a good fixture, he's a good fit there, and I would miss him. You know, even if he doesn't do songs or anything, I think it would be weird without him there.
But I don't so much mean like a world without Mr. Shue. I mean like this whole plot line of Mr. Shue possibly leaving the Glee Club. Is this a plot line that you feel at all emotionally invested in?
No, because I don't think there's any real jeopardy or real possibility it's going to happen.
Ed?
Well, okay, I'm going to say... Some possible. What if at the end, after they whatever they do at Nationals, I have no idea, win, lose, whatever they do, they go to Nationals.
They're gonna lose.
They perform.
Well, I got my mind on losing.
After they, well, most likely they'll perform at Nationals. That's yes. Probably a safe assumption. then Will leaves. He's like, whatever happened. Like if they whatever happens, then Will's like, well, I think this is gonna be my last year. And then in the summer, the aether of the summer, Will goes to Broadway, and then he so happens to return back at the beginning of season three. This is a possibility I could see happening and not be concerned with. That being said, I wouldn't mind replacing Will Schuster with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Completely. Wow, that's an interesting statement. She can't commit. She's.
I know that's why it won't happen. But this is why I outlined a feasible scenario where he could leave.
Okay.
Listener Melly says Matthew Morrison's album wasn't good enough for him to leave Glee. You know, I think the reason I asked the question is I guess we're all kind of on the same page. I don't feel emotionally invested in this plot line at all because I don't think there's any chance that Matthew Morrison is leaving the show. So it just feels like show, distraction.
But what about the possibility of at the end of the season him going to quote unquote Broadway during the summer break and then returning at the beginning of season three?
I don't see like, how that changes anything though.
But it's technically something happened.
Like how is that? That doesn't like risk, you know, that doesn't put into jeopardy anything that we understand about the Glee Club or the characters or anything if Mr. Shue takes the summer off to spend in New York. I mean, other than it kind of puts his relationship with Emma into jeopardy, but he doesn't appear to be pursuing that, which, by the way, Emma running cold water over grapes for half an hour was genius.
I know, right? I was like, oh, that's such a good step.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I was torn on this one. But you know, we did close out on a big group number. Ed, the producers are listening to you.
I have a theory that they secretly take everything I say and they do it. So... Ed as a part. There you go.
Wait a minute. I think your theory should secretly be that they listen to every episode of the Gleeful podcast.
No, they just listen to me. I'm just kidding, obviously.
Our here is Don't Stop, originally by Fleetwood Mac, as performed by the cast of Glee here on the Gleeful podcast. You'll see things in a different way. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow.
Life.
This song was totally ruined for me by the 1992 presidential election. which is before many of your times. But we did get a big group number. And that's everything I have for this episode.
Can we call the episode Pisces, please?
That's so funny you said that, because I was going to say, I just wanted to point out some of the shippers that they talked about this episode. It was really funny.
Oh, my wife said shippers.
I did.
Pisces was my favorite one, though.
Pisces was the best one.
And Artitany?
Yes.
Artitany? I thought that was kind of funny. I didn't catch a couple of them in the middle, but somebody on Ustream pointed out that they liked that Rachel actually said Puckleberry, and I thought that was cute, too.
And Finchel?
Finchel was in there.
Finchel. What are Quinn and Finn?
Aren't they? They're Finn. I don't know.
They're Finn.
No, I swear it was I thought it was a combination of one of their last names.
Yeah, there's a last name involved. Houseaholic has Tina Cohen Chang Chang.
That's the one, yeah. There were a couple. I thought that was really cute. Pisces, I thought was cute.
Yeah, Pisces was funny.
And Santofsky.
Yes, oh my God.
Vote for Santofsky.
So I asked the listeners on Twitter and on Facebook, if Glee were to do another episode exclusively about one album, what would people like to see? It's interesting. A lot of people went Beatles, and I think that a Beatles album would be pretty cool, or just an entirely Beatles show. I think it kind of has to happen. I think that's going to happen. Which album would you go with? The listeners seemed a bit in different places on that. But over on Facebook, listener Miranda had The White Stripes Elephant or White Blood Cells. That would be interesting to see something really that loud. Listener Elena had Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, which I was remarking to Jennifer, is one of those albums that people either don't understand the lyrics and think that it's really happy, or do understand the lyrics and think that it's really sad. So that would be interesting to see them do on the show. Listener Abby had Joshua Tree. That would be interesting to do a U2 episode.
I don't like U2, so no.
A couple people actually brought up David Bowie to do a David Bowie
I thought Sue was gonna do a David Bowie song.
That would have been funny.
I really thought she was doing Life on Mars. That was the rumor, and then it didn't happen.
Interesting. Life on Mars would be interesting. Listener Michelle had Queen's A Night at the Opera, which we have heard, obviously. Bohemian Rhapsody. But to do some of the Show Must Go On, some of the other, which isn't on that album, but
Scott McIntyre has ruined that song.
But I think I would have to say, my guess is that the most suggested was Adele's 19 or 21. Most people said 19 or 21. They didn't even want to pick one. They just said two.
Definitely 21 if you're giving me the choice. But I have my. Can I tell you my pick? I'm excited.
Yes, definitely. Ed, what was your pick for the album that
I've been thinking about this for a little bit, but I think would be a legitimate album choice, The Killers' Hot Fuss.
Wow. There's two songs on that album that are worth listening to.
And, completely a lie. There's 13 tracks on that album that are worth listening to. And all these things that I've done would be an amazing moment for anybody. Whoever got to sing it, and Somebody Told Me, and Mr. Brightside, and Smile Like You Mean It. What are you? Come on, Kill Me Now, Kill Me Now. I love that song too. So you know what? Whatever, Josh. What do you say? But I am. That is my suggestion. I thought it was interesting.
That is a good suggestion, Jennifer. Do you have an album that they should perform?
Yeah, I've actually kind of back and forth between two, but I would say Princess Purple Rain. I think that would be a lot of fun. And I think there'd be a little bit of something for everybody in it.
I'm with you on Princess Purple Rain. That was one of my suggestions as well. You know, now that you make a case for Hot Fuss, Ed, you make a very good case for it. So you won me over on your suggestion. you know, for me, I kind of went a couple ways. I think Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life would be really interesting.
But then that goes against everything you say, you don't take on Stevie.
I understand, but I'm also a glutton for punishment. And
okay.
So you never know where that would go. A couple people had, actually, a surprising number of people rolled back to The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. I don't know how that would work, but that's such a great record.
Well, I mean, another one that was kind of on my mind was, just because it's so theatrical, the Black Parade from My Chemical Romance.
Someone suggested that one. Yeah. Actually, I thought you were going to go that way, Ed, towards the Black Parade or like a fever
well,
you just can't
catch. I want to be surprisingly unconventional constantly. Oh. And, well, honestly, the Hot Fuss record was the first one that came to my mind. I also considered, I don't know, I'm not sure. Oh, there's my phone. It was making noises, and I was like, "Where's my phone?" And my computer is a disheveled mess.
So, live listeners, you can tell this is as soon as we hit the 1 hour point, that's when things go off the rails.
Yeah.
So, welcome to off the rails time. So,
well, it's not like we cut it out of the episodes, but at least you can, you know, witness it live.
Yeah, you can like skip over it. You're like, oh my god, Ed has just gone crazy.
I found his phone. More sirens. Oh no.
Chris 429 has Viva La Vida. He just tweeted that over in the chat room. Yeah, you know, I would probably go Song of the Key of Life, but yeah, Purple Rain would be so cool. There would be so much variety for that.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
You could have different twists on the different songs and things. I think that would be a really entertaining episode. And then, you know, someone could wear assless pants, and that's always fun. So there's...
What did you say about Sam?
Whoa.
Ooh.
Nicely done. So before we go, we do need to bring up one thing, too. Actually, we should go ahead and take a quick listen to this.
And next Tuesday, the king and queen candidates are set.
Hubba hubba.
The outfits are chosen.
Dude, that rocks. It's like Braveheart.
And old friends return.
What are you doing here?
For the biggest night of their lives.
I'll see you at the prom, Butchin. I'm not gonna
teach you how to do. Glee does prom.
It's go time.
With the most unexpected, shocking ending of the year.
You did this to me.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Ed, I'm going to ask you in a second, but be careful how you answer because I know you know more than Jennifer and I do. Jennifer, who's going to win prom king and queen?
I don't know.
No, like guess.
I don't know.
You don't know?
You don't you, guess. Maybe guess.
Pisces.
Pisces. That's a good one.
Pisces.
I'm going to go. Oh, go ahead.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, in my school, this was years ago, you didn't elect a couple.
Yeah, exactly. My school was one individuals too. But.
So it could be like a mix. Okay, but yeah, I'm going with Pisces. I don't care.
Jennifer's going Pisces. I'm going to go, you know, my soul, I want to see Artitney. I don't know why. There's just something about Artitney up there that I think would be hilarious. Typo Ed just tweeted the bitch slap heard around the world. By the way, how do you pronounce that? What is I don't know how to pronounce Typo Ed. And Ed, as I said, careful with how you answer.
Typo A.
I don't know who it is, but I know who it isn't. Like I don't know.
But who do you think? Who do you want to be?
I've been under the theory since we know who it isn't that it's going to be Santana and Brittany.
You think it's going to be Santitney?
Because context clues too. I'm not just saying that because of the other situation. I'm saying because of the context clues, because of Songbird, because of Fondue for Two. Like it's sort of been in an odd way, even though it was going a different direction. This other direction, I think, fits even better than the direction that.
Interesting. Well, that's a very good point. To you know, I think that would be fun, but I don't know. But you could also get something really crazy, right? Like you could get like Santofsky would be nuts because it would be like visible. You know, the school would be getting one thing. Typo A. She's Canadian.
I got it right.
Yes. The school would be seeing one thing if somebody like Santofsky won, while the Glee Club is seeing something totally different. I think that would be great for, you know, character and mm-hmm. inner turmoil and such. Well, I think we can assume it's not Quinn.
But then again,
from the promo.
Then again, there's a part of me, my inner showgirl mm-hmm. wants Quinn to win.
Yes.
She does have a good nose.
I mean, I think Ryan Murphy wants Kurt and Blaine to win. I mean, I think that can Blaine win without being a student there? But I think Ryan Murphy would like Blaine to win.
Go Gosh, Team Claims.
But, so funny I mean, that I know all these.
But, I mean, okay, so from the promo, and I don't know anything about who was supposed to win and then who didn't win and if they changed it or not. I don't know anything. I don't know who the leak was. But all I can assume from watching that promo is that it's actually like Rachel and Finn or something. And
yeah, can you elect? Annoying.
Can you vote for people who aren't, you know, officially running for it?
Yeah, write in, baby. Yeah, that would be annoying to me if it was Rachel and Finn. Is just too obvious.
It's very obvious. Yes.
Like, and we keep establishing that the school doesn't like Rachel. So.
But I mean, but Quinn is really pissed about something.
Yes. Well, so, it's the slap heard around the world.
That's awesome. I mean, I didn't see any pig's blood anywhere, so it couldn't have gotten that bad.
Oh, that would be
There's
so funny.
There's been so many Carrie references lately. Like, I don't know.
It's prom season.
Oh, it's, yeah. Prom season brings up Carrie references. It's just what it is. Before we go, we also need to talk about one thing that is going all over the interwebs at the moment. Of course, the 3D movie.
The Glee 3D
movie that is in the works. I guess they're just going to film the concert tour or a couple of dates from the concert tour. They're going to do it in 3D. It is titled Glee! Live! 3D! Which, of course, means if this works, if Glee Live 3D is successful, we will, of course, have High School Musical 3D. Quickly behind it. But yes, Glee Live 3D. You know, we went to the tour last year, but the tickets were crazy expensive this year, so we didn't buy tickets, but we still might try to see if we can finagle some. Does this, you know, Jennifer and Ed, does this make you guys less interested in actually going to see this tour? Jennifer?
No. Doesn't make me want to see it more or less.
In the end, I'd rather see them live, but as a poor college student, probably the 3D experience probably more realistic.
Yeah,
I mean, because we've seen the live show and it was amazing. They were all absolutely incredible live. So I don't know.
It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's about it for us, Ed. Would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers before we go?
First, I'd like to thank the 32 people who have been chatting with us. 32
yes.
plus.
Yes.
So Boise Squad, Melanie Grossi, Martin, because he was like, shout out, Ed. Okay. Martin Coughlin, shout out. Ms. Omeru and Molly Fenn, Ms. Rocksteady, Typo A, Irish Mike, a bunch of other people. Yay, people. Okay. And then, then on iTunes, we have HGC1277, Food and Yogi, Robin Rivers, Busy Liz 2, Emmy Lou, and Jesus Lopez. So, thank you much for the reviews. And we are officially a 5-star podcast. So, that's exciting.
Because we have so many reviews. That's really awesome.
We have so many positive reviews.
That's
that we're
fantastic.
5 stars.
Thank you guys very much for that. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, and of course you do, because it was so awesome. So Ed almost pronounced it right. Lol. Yes, if you'd like to weigh in on anything, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at gleefulpodcast. You can find me at High Tech Elvis, Jennifer Jenny B Creative, and Ed at Edward Giordano. You can go on Facebook and the website, which is at gleefulpodcast.com. And
can you tell the people, because they keep asking how long until this we're done recording will this be up? Be realistic, Josh.
This it'll probably be up. I mean, honestly, my internet's been running really slow, so it'll probably be up about 8. It'll probably be up in about an hour. Usually takes me about an hour when all is said and done. Yes, we are definitely going to try to make this a weekly thing. I think it'll be a blast to have people listening in, and I think it'll be cool.
We should do. Okay, I've been in talk. I'm going to tell Josh and Jen this for the first time, but I've been in talks with former Entertainment Weekly writer Michael Slezak and try to get him on the show, and we've been talking, so it should be happening in the near future. So. And I don't know if that's exciting to anyone but me.
It's very exciting.
No, that's awesome, man.
And thanks to everybody who weighed in on the question. And yeah, that's very exciting. That's cool. For the Idol Review with Josh and Jen and Ed,
Gleeful.
The Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Shutting down all over the world except for when the cyclones strike. Peace out. I'm Ed.
Good night, everyone. Don't you